And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God. Today we're going to be talking about some secrets. In fact, this is volume 129. So we've done 128, and now we're going to move forward with another volume of secrets. It's a wonderful thing in the New Testament when Jesus assured his disciples that he had taught nothing in secret. And now there are secrets that he revealed, things that, well, people who are not spiritually minded cannot understand. So, you know, the Bible says, let him who hath ears hear. Let him who has eyes see. So there are some things that God speaks about that are mysteries, but they are mysteries because people's minds are clouded over with sin, and they cannot understand these things. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, the Apostle Paul said. Well, today we're going to talk about some secrets. We're going to be plain spoken. And I think even these temporal world secrets today we're going to expose, reveal. It seems as though the people of the world don't really understand what's going on. We're going to discuss some amazing things today. So, you know, you may want to take some notes along the way. I'm going to be speaking pretty fast here because I've got a lot to cover, a lot of things I've been storing up. I keep a big file box by my desk, and I never get exhausted, and when I get a new secret in or something that I think would be interesting to you, my good friends, out in Radio Land, I put it in that file box. And that file box now is about 3 feet tall, and I can only go about an inch of secrets. So please forgive me if I go a little fast today. First of all, I want to tell you about Procter & Gamble. One of the biggest soap and consumer products companies in the world, Procter & Gamble. They just won a $25 million court judgment against 4 former Amway distributors. According to Procter & Gamble, these Amway distributors had spread false rumors linking the company to Satanism. Evidently, these Amway distributors, you know, they're in competition with Procter & Gamble selling Amway soap and products, home products. And some years ago, they began some rumors or some gossip that really took hold. And millions of people were discussing it and saying that Procter & Gamble, according to these rumors, was taking some of its profits and supporting the Church of Satan. Helping the Church of Satan. Well, none of that was true. Certainly there was no evidence for it. A number of people over the years have asked me that. Is it true that Procter & Gamble is behind the Church of Satan? And, you know, I've always said I have no evidence of such a thing. So they did sue these people and won $25 million. I think all of this began because the logo, the official logo of Procter & Gamble, is indeed quite curious. Now, they may turn around and sue me for saying this, but I don't care. It is true. It is a very curious thing. The logo was and they've changed it a little bit, softened it up a little bit, and it's very tiny on their products, very tiny. Which makes you wonder why they even keep the logo. It is a bearded, ancient man. He's sort of a crescent man in the moon. And he's looking over a field of 13 stars. Now, Procter & Gamble actually had to put out a little booklet explaining what their logo was, and I got it in their booklet, and I'll tell you, I wasn't too satisfied with it. Procter & Gamble says, look, we've never been involved in Satanism. Okay, well, I, you know, don't have any evidence that they were. They say we started as a candle maker. In fact, they said our first logo was a star that was stamped on our boxes. The candles that we sent out. Candles. You know, like go on altars of worship and such. And the star. Of course, the star could be very benign, but we know that witchcraft worshipers use stars. And there's the hexagram star. And even Paul says in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that the children of Israel divorced themselves from God during the days of Moses and instead worshiped the star of the Egyptian god and goddess, whom they call Remphan or Kiun. That's in the book of Acts. They worship the star god and goddess, as well as the golden calf, which was really a symbolic of the great goddess as well. Now, the fact that Procter & Gamble has this very curious design, and by the way, the old man in the logo sure appeared to me to have horns. Now, what old man has horns? A man in the moon looking out over stars. Horns. Well, Procter & Gamble, you know, you might just want to change your logo. Again, we have no evidence here that they're involved in Satanism, and I doubt if they are. But, you know, it might be that a Satanist developed that logo, or an occultist, many decades ago. It might be that the current management of Procter & Gamble doesn't even understand its true meaning. But it seems to have some occult things there. And my recommendation to Procter & Gamble, hey, get rid of the logo. A lot of companies change their logos all the time to sort of keep up with the time. Ford Motor Company has changed it. In my generation, RCA, Victor's changed it. Many companies do so, General Electric. So it's no big thing, especially since they rarely use the logo. What do they need this little bitty logo for? It's very, very curious to me. And by the way, one of the people they sued for $6.66 million. Were they just making a point? Why would you sue? You're accused of being part of the Church of Satan, so you sue the person who accuses you, and you ask for damages of $6.66 million. You know, at least that's bad judgment on the part of Procter & Gamble. May not be Satanism, I'm not saying it is, but bad judgment, yeah, sounds like it. Hey, here's something somebody wrote me and said, Tex, what do I think about Minnesota Democrat Congressman Keith Ellison being sworn in to the U.S. Congress with his hand on the Quran? Hey, I think he's being honest. Excuse me for saying it, but he's basically worshiping Satan in the guise of Islam, and he wants to put his hand on a book that I believe is really written by devils. Let him do it. Why would you want a Muslim like Mr. Ellison to put his hand on a Bible? I don't want him to dirty and soil the Holy Bible. Let him use the Quran. Better yet, let him bring in Anton LaVey, the high priest of Satan's Satanic Bible, and swear in on that. In fact, let me go one step further. Of the 565 congressmen and senators in the United States today, I think probably about 540 of them ought to just take the Satanic Bible and swear on it. I don't want them using the Holy Bible. These are a bunch of lying, thieving mugs up in Congress today. Get your cotton-picking hands off the Holy Bible. Hey, Congressman Ellison, you did the right thing. You swore on the Quran, a book that has no relationship at all to the holy God who wrote the Bible, or to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Good. Good. Good for you. Now, those very few, and I mean there's only a handful who are Christians in Congress. I can count them on one hand. Let them swear on the Holy Bible, but you know the Bible says don't swear on anything. So why would you even want to swear on the Bible? When they say, would you like to swear in? I'd say, no, I don't want to swear in. But I do promise to tell the truth. I will tell the truth. And leave it at that. Jesus said, let your yeas be yeas and your noes be noes, or nays be nays. Don't swear on anything. Don't swear on the Bible. So, what do I think? Ellison's a Muslim. So what? It's all a big masquerade. It's all a big satanic ritual. From Nancy Pelosi to Harry Reid, all of them, Senator Hillary Clinton, keep the Bible out of it. That's what I say. So why these Christians want to get upset because he swears on the Quran? Hey, they're all Satanists. Let them all swear on the Quran for all I care. What does it matter to us as Christians? We're not going to do it. You know, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, but though we or an angel from heaven come to you and preach a gospel other than the one that we have preached, in other words, other than the gospel that the apostles preached, if anybody, even an angel, comes to you and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So Mr. Ellison, congressman from Minnesota, preaches a false gospel. He brings a false Bible. That's his big problem. Don't get involved in it. Let the dead bury the dead. Hey, did you know that Henry Kissinger, he's one of the big poobahs of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Council on Foreign Relations is working very hard now to create a global religious system. They brought Pastor Rick Warren, you know, the purpose-driven false prophet, into their midst. He's one of their CFR members. So is Richard Land, head of the one of the biggest bureaucracies of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's there. Henry Kissinger is in charge of the Council on Foreign Relations Religious Roundtable. Meanwhile, according to the National Catholic Register, a very well-known Catholic publication, Henry Kissinger, in addition to being head of the CFR's Religious Roundtable, has been appointed by Pope Benedict the 16th to be his papal advisor. He's the political consultant to the Pope of Rome. Or is he telling the Pope of Rome what to do? Which is it? Wow. Kissinger's getting a little old now. He's 83 years old, but he's still traveling. He recently was over in China. Saw a picture of him over there with the China's vice premier. And now the 83-year-old Kissinger, who, by the way, of course, is Jewish, according to the National Catholic Register and the Italian newspaper La Stampa, he's advisor and political consultant to the Pope over in the Vatican City. Isn't that special? There again, I think that's quite interesting. They're all coming together, aren't they, in the last days. Hey, somebody wrote to me and says, Tex, did you read the article in the newspapers with the headline, Bizarre Hexagon Spotted in Saturn's Clouds? Yes, I did, and I have a picture of it. It's quite interesting. A bizarre hexagon has been spotted in the clouds of Saturn, and astronomers have taken pictures of it. It's a perfect hexagon. How could you get such a thing? A bizarre hexagon. I wonder if God is trying to tell us stuff. You know, the Bible says there'll be signs in heavens. Signs in the heavens in the last days. There sure is a sign, isn't it? Hexagon. Six-pointed. I was reading Christian News recently, and I'd read this article before many years ago. And the article was reprinted recently, and you know, I wanted to bring it to your attention because I think it's quite fascinating. Pablo Picasso was said to be the most influential artist of the 20th century. Some people say that Picasso of Spain was the greatest artist who ever lived. He died in 1973. His paintings today fetch millions, even tens of millions of dollars for some of his paintings. But, you know, it seems that Mr. Picasso knew what and who he really was. Now, talk about a skunk of a person being, at least on this occasion, honest. Well, he was. Now, Arianna Huffington, the political commentator, whose husband ran for the governor office in California about a decade ago, Arianna Huffington wrote a book in 1988 about the life of Pablo Picasso. And in it, there is an interview with Picasso. I want to read to you what he said. Now, remember, he's the guy that had the abstract art. Abstract art. I remember many years ago, before I became a Christian, I had a friend that had printings. He didn't have enough money to buy the original paintings, obviously, but he had printings of Picasso. You couldn't make out what they were. They were just a bunch of strange-looking lines and triangles and weird-looking stuff. And I said, what does this painting symbolize? What does it mean? My friend said, well, you could put your own interpretation into it. Well, I said, well, what good is a painting if I have to put my own interpretation? I thought the artist was supposed to do that for us. Well, no. That's why he's such a great artist, my friend said, Picasso. Oh, yeah. Listen to something Pablo Picasso said. He says, in art, the nice people, the rich, the idle folk, seek less and less because they know nothing. They seek after whatever is new, odd, original, extravagant, or scandalous, but they are all know-nothings. And then he said, by dint, or by way of amusing myself with fun and games, I became a celebrity in no time. I realized that people were following art such as cubism that had no meaning at all. Then I began to please myself with whatever bizarre extravaganzas entered my head. And guess what? The less the public understood about my art, the more they admired me. So I became more extravagant and insane, and they loved me more. Today I am, as you know, both famous and rich. I am indeed one of the world's greatest celebrities. But I am not an artist. I never have been an artist. I am a fraud. When I am alone with myself, I do not have the courage to consider myself an artist in the grand sense of the term. Giotto, Titian, Rembrandt, Goya, these were great painters, said Picasso. I, however, am only a public clown. Why, then, am I rich and famous? Because I understood my period, and I exploited people as best as I could. How did I exploit them? Because they were imbeciles. They were vain. They were cupid. He said, I'm a hoax. I'm not a great painter. And the more weird and abstract and nutty I became just throwing paint on canvases, the more they wanted it. And, you know, he goes on to say, I never told them what it represented. I let them make up their own mind. It represented nothing. I suppose, you know, Pablo could have got his donkey and put, you know, paint on his 4 feet and had him run around over a canvas and then put it out for sale and get $10 million for it. And they'd say, how brilliant, what a genius. So museums are full of Picasso's crazy, extravagant paintings because, says Picasso, people are imbeciles. There are a bunch of morons out there. So the next time, my friend, you have somebody that says, oh, abstract art is for the real brainy, intellectual people, laugh your silly head off. Even Picasso said, when I'm alone, I know what I am. I'm no painter. I'm a hoax. Well, Terry Nichols has confessed, and you know what? The world's not listening. You know, isn't it amazing? Terry Nichols, the guy who supposedly helped Timothy McVeigh to bomb the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, has confessed to everything now, exactly the way it happened. And only the alternative news is covering it. Amazing. February 17th this year, convicted bomber Terry Nichols from his prison cell talked to his attorney, Salt Lake City attorney Jesse Trentadue. And he gave a signed and sealed declaration of what really happened. The evidence, the confession that the federal court would not allow in evidence. What happened in Oklahoma City? Nichols says that he and Mr. McVeigh were loyal soldiers in the U.S. Army. And they were contacted by the government and said, we're going to put you in a special unit working with the FBI and the CIA. They began to work under the direct attention and supervision, evidently according to this report, of FBI agent Larry Potts. And it was the FBI that directed them to bomb the Murrah Federal Building. Now let me say that again. An FBI agent, Larry Potts, was the supervisor of the whole thing. The FBI, the government, supervised the bombing of the federal building. Folks, didn't we tell you here at Power of Prophecy this was what had happened? Nichols has been trying to set the record straight. He said he hoped that with the election of George Bush and the appointment of a Christian Attorney General, John Ashcroft, the truth would come out. And he claims to have sent a letter to Attorney General John Ashcroft in September 2004, but he never received a response. And the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Bureau of Prisons, is not interested. Isn't that interesting? The FBI did it. The FBI and Mr. Larry Potts evidently did it. Now, here's an interesting thing. Mr. Nichols says that, yes, he and McVeigh dress rehearsed the whole thing and practiced with the fertilizer bomb. But they and the FBI knew all along that a fertilizer bomb could not do very much damage. It was just a diversionary thing. There were bombs planted within the building by the FBI. That's what did the job. Friends, when are we going to force our government to tell the truth? Bill and Hillary Clinton need to be put on trial. And if the evidence came out, I am confident they would be convicted of the mass murder of men, women, and children in Oklahoma City. And that's just a start. We haven't even talked about Waco and other places. and they will be sentenced to death if they're ever put on trial. And FBI agent Larry Potts, I believe that he is guilty of this, and he should be put on trial. You know, Timothy McVeigh's attorney said at the time McVeigh's trial was going on, he said, if the people of America knew what really happened and who was responsible, he said there would be a revolution in America and there would be a regime change, a change of government in America. But isn't that true about the JFK assassination? Isn't it true about John F. Kennedy Jr. assassination? Isn't it true about so many things in history? How about 9/11? What a ridiculous notion that 19 Arabs with box cutters pulled that off. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. It's about as stupid as thinking Pablo Picasso was a real artist. Well, they are doing everything they can in Washington to try to stop the internet. They're afraid to death. The internet is the only place, it and maybe, you know, shortwave radio, but mainly internet radio today. We have our program on the internet. And I'm telling you, this is the only place you're going to get real news and real truth. And they want to stop us. Did you know that in Congress, they now have a bill. John McCain has proposed legislation that would fine bloggers, that's people who chat on the webpage, up to $300,000 for offensive statements. If you offend somebody like a congressman or the president or a government official, you could be fined $300,000. For your blog comment. Boy, they're trying to stop freedom of speech on the internet. They just can't stand it, can they? And then the Democrats in Congress want anyone who writes a letter to the editor of a newspaper or anyone who writes a blog or puts anything on a web page or anyone who writes their congressman to state their opinion, they want you to first register as a political action agent. So you got to go down and, you know, maybe pay $200 registration fee and register as a political activist before you can write your congressman. Have these idiots not ever read our Bill of Rights that says we have a right to petition our government for grievances? That's one of the 10 Bill of Rights amendments. We have the right to petition our government. And these idiots like Nancy Pelosi and John McCain and Hillary Clinton, all of them, they want to require you to register before you can write your congressman. And then you have to set up an organization and then you have to keep records of everything that you said to your congressman. You know what? They don't want to hear from you and me. They're sick and tired of us telling them what to do. They want to just take their money and run and set up their communist government. They want to tell the American people, shut up. Well, I'm telling you, friends, we're not going to shut up. They better open up their ears and get the wax out. We're here to stay. This is Tex Mars. And I hope you'll stay with me. We've reached the halfway mark, and I'll be right back after this brief message. Synagogue of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, the secret history of Jewish world domination. The book is by Andrew Hitchcock from Great Britain, and I have been honored and privileged to write the foreword to this book entitled The Synagogue of Satan. 320 pages. It's the first book that has taken the chronology all the way back 1,000 years, and you will see the influence, the power, the criminal activity of the Synagogue of Satan, including, by the way, the Rothschild dynasty. If you want just to know a history of the Rothschilds, here it is. They control the papacy through its money. They control our Federal Reserve System. Money again. They have instigated every major war that the United States has been involved in, this Synagogue of Satan. And did you know that in the book of Revelation, twice our Lord Jesus fingered the Synagogue of Satan as the one that we're to watch out for? In fact, in Revelation 3, verse 10, it says, the hour of temptation will come upon the whole earth. An hour of temptation. And people will be invited to take the mark or the name or the number of the beast. And they will be required to worship the image of the beast, or they will be slain, beheaded. No wonder under the Noahide laws of the Jewish Talmud of the rabbis, it states that if you are an idolater, and that means worshiping Jesus Christ, because they consider Jesus in the Talmudic Jewish religion, they consider Jesus an idol. Just the very fact that he lived and we worship him as Lord, to them that's idolatry. And their own Talmud in this Noahide law says that those who worship Jesus, in other words, those who are idolaters, the Jews say their heads will be cut off. Boy, that goes right along with Revelation 13. They planned to cut our heads off. My good friend, Larry Patterson of Criminal Politics Magazine, wrote me a letter just this week. He said, "Dear Tex, congratulations on your spectacular book, The Synagogue of Satan." He went on to say, "I am not aware of anything similar showing the development of radical Judaism on a calendar year basis. What a resource for people to look up a particular person or year." He's going to offer this book through Criminal Politics Magazine. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not anti-Semitism. This is just absolute truth. It's a stinging indictment. Just last week, we had Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, the author of this book, on. And we have plenty of copies of this book. In fact, we just went back for a second printing of Synagogue of Satan. I'm amazed at the courage of people. People are sick and tired of the Synagogue of Satan, George Bush, the neocon Jews in Washington, D.C., of Israel telling us what to do. That's why we're over there in Iraq and Iran. That's why almost 3,000 Americans have been slain in that war. That's why we had the World Trade Center disaster, because of this Synagogue of Satan that is out to rule the whole world. Friends, if Jesus said it, I believe him. If you want to believe John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, and these other apostates, go ahead. But I'm telling you that I believe Revelation 2, verse 9. I believe Revelation 3, verse 9, that say that there is a synagogue of Satan. It's made up of false Jews. They are blasphemers, murderers, and they will be throwing many of us into prison. And that's right there in the book of Revelation, the synagogue of Satan. It doesn't say the Buddhist temple. It doesn't say the Islamic mosque. It says the synagogue of Satan. It doesn't even say Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. It's the synagogue of Satan. Who do you think the big troublemaker is in the last days? Buddhists? Hindus? Muslims? Well, I believe God. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe all of these evangelical Christians that are warning you about Islam. And listen, I'm no fan of Islam. We have an entire 60-minute expose tape. I've gotten many letters from Muslims threatening my life because we expose the meaning, the true meaning, the satanic meaning of Islam. But I'm also here to tell you something, friends. I'm not going to blink in telling you that Islam is not of God. But I'm not going to cover up for the Jews in the synagogue of Satan. And if you want me to, then you're trying to tell me that you want me to take the book of Revelation and burn it. I'm not going to burn the Bible. I'm not going to throw the Bible in the trash can. I believe the Bible. If you don't, that's your problem. Why don't you run for Congress and you can go up there with Keith Ellison and put your hand and swear on the Quran or some other book. I believe in the Bible. 100%. The King James Bible. 100%. Not 99%. Man wrote to me not too long ago, a Christian evangelist, says, Tex, I believe in the King James Bible. Of course, I have found one error in it. Really? What an amazing man. 66 books in the Bible, all those pages, and he's such a genius spiritually that he found one error. He spotted it. Moron. Maybe he better team up with Picasso. Friends, if the Bible has an error in it, the true Bible, then Jesus lied, because the Bible itself says that there is not one error in it. It is without fault. It is written by God. Prophets, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, do you think the Holy Ghost said, well, let's tell a few little lies. Let's put a mistake in here too. Do you think the Holy Ghost works like that? If you do, you're a fool. Jesus himself read from the Old Testament. Jesus read. And by the way, he read in the synagogue. And there's not one indication that Jesus ever said, you know, I'm going to read this Bible to you today in the synagogue, although there are some errors in it. I just don't remember Jesus saying that. And Paul quoted the Bible. And other apostles quoted the Bible. And never once did they say, but of course there are errors in it, and I'm able to spot them. They believed in that Bible. And friends, if you don't believe in the Bible, go join Keith Ellison. You're not a Christian. You may as well be a Muslim. You're going to go to the same place. Change God's word. He'll change where you're going. He'll blot your name out from the book of life and send you to hell so fast. Well, I get mad. I'm mad. I'm sick and tired of people trying to change the Bible and believing that they have been so spiritually gifted they can find mistakes in it. Idiot. Change your own heart. Don't try to change God's Bible, or he'll change the direction you're going in. You say he wouldn't do that. I believe in eternal security. I'm just telling you what the book of Revelation says. You change one word in that book of prophecy, and the Bible says that God will blot out your name from the book of life. You can talk all day long to me about eternal security, and that's fine and dandy. And go ahead and just change one word in God's word, and I tell you, you're headed straight for hell. But I believe in once saved, always saved. Tell it to the devil when you get there. You know, I believe God can hold you in the palm of his hand too. But there is one thing that's going to get you to hell, and that's trying to change his word. I've said enough on that. I guess I'm going to get a few letters from people. Oh, Tex, you just don't understand. You're not scholarly. Shut up. Okay. Hey, I love you folks, but come on. Let's get real. It's time to believe in God's word. And, you know, I want to keep you as my friends. I want you to continue to listen to this program. But if you don't believe in God's word, you and I have nothing to talk about. We're just out there dancing in la-la land. There's no basis. There's no fellowship between you and me. You don't believe? I believe. That's it. Go somewhere else. I think Pastor John Hagee's on TV every Sunday. He says Jews don't need Jesus. Go believe him. After all, it doesn't matter anyway. He changed the Bible. You changed the Bible. Get together. Go have a holy dance. And in fact, laugh a little bit. Do one of those holy laughter jobs. Don't turn on this radio station and listen to Tex Mars anymore. I'm not going to agree. I don't believe anything but this. The Bible is 100% true, and that's the end of it. Am I narrow-minded? Yeah, of course I'm narrow-minded. Jesus is narrow-minded. He says narrow is the way, and few there are that enter in therein at the gate. Narrow is the way. You say, I don't want to be part of a narrow-minded religion? That's okay. There's a great big highway out there. Go drive your new automobile and just go right on that big freeway. And you'll find out where it's going to take you to. I already know exactly your destination, if that's what you believe, if you're that broad-minded. Now let's return to our regular program. I need to tell people, don't I, about I got so carried away there. I just get angry. Some people say, well, Tex, you know it's a sin to be mad. No, it's not a sin to be righteously indignant. Even Jesus got righteously indignant at the money changers in the temple. It's only right. And I'm righteously indignant. In fact, let me just say I am mad. 20 is the book, $4 shipping and handling, $24. Synagogue of Satan, you will have never read a book like this. You will have never read a book like this. It'll amaze you. The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Hitchcock. Remember Alpha Hitchcock, and help you to remember his last name. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 to order, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can send us a $24 money order or check or cash, $24. Say, Tex, send me Synagogue of Satan, the book, and I'll send it right out to you. We'll give you the taped 60-minute interview, either CD or audio tape, if you'd like my interview, a copy of my interview with Andrew Hitchcock, the author. That would be interesting. That's $8. Again, $4 shipping and handling. From Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program, Power of Prophecy. Hey, some friends over in Poland sent me a newspaper from Poland. And it's in Polish language, but I'm able to make it out. And basically what it says is John F. Kerry, his family, senator from Massachusetts, his family has Jewish roots. And he came from Silesia, his family did, his ancestors, right here in Poland. Now, isn't that interesting? They even have a picture of the street where the Kerry family lived, the Jewish Kerry family. Remember how we were the first to fully explain to everybody that he was a Jew and came from a very rich family of Jews? Everybody said, no, he's an Irish Catholic. Tex, you don't know what you're talking about. Later, he was forced to admit, yeah, I'm a Jew. He is Jewish. There are all these crypto-Jews running around out there, claiming to be what they're not. This guy used to march in St. Patrick's Day parade wearing green, claiming to be an Irish Catholic. George Bush, Jewish. No. Yes. There's some strange things in this world. Immigration bill. John McCain, Republican of Arizona, Senator, and Edward Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Democrat in Massachusetts, are working together on a bill. Kissy-kissy, these two. McCain's running for president, you know, on the Republican Party ticket now. And old Ted, well, he's, I don't know what he's doing these days. But I know one thing. They're both working on this immigration bill. It's stalled, though. It's been stalled for a while. Now, why is it stalled? Because people like you and I are raising a lot of trouble over it. You see, we know that it's nothing more than amnesty. There are, don't believe the government. The government says there are 12 million illegal aliens. A Bear Stearns Wall Street report gives the figure 30 million illegal aliens in America. Now, McCain and Kennedy, along with George Bush, want to give them complete and full amnesty. But they don't want to use the word amnesty. You see, Americans don't like that word. So they're going to call it something else. That's the way Big Brother does. They use doublespeak. And by the way, this bill is comprehensive immigration reform. Anytime the government says they're going to reform something, friends, don't believe it. It's a lie. They never reform it. They only make matters worse. Don't believe anything they say. Hey, here's a guy you can believe, though. He's a professor. For once, I believe a university professor. I'm right on his team. Now, he doesn't fully understand what he's writing about, but Professor Zimbardo of Stanford University has written a book. It's called The Lucifer Effect, Understanding How Good People Turn Evil. Interesting, isn't it? Philip Zimbardo, well-known psychologist, professor from Stanford University. He's done a lot of experiments, mind control experiments and so forth. He says all people have a dark side. Now, the do-gooders say, no, everybody is basically good. Zimbardo says, baloney. Everybody has an evil side, and he calls it the Lucifer effect. Given the right conditions, all of us will do evil, just like the Stalin-Leninists did, or Nazis did, or George Bush, and Rumsfeld, and Cheney have done in Iraq. Given the right circumstances, we'll all do evil. We all have a dark side. You know what? Zimbardo's correct. You don't find many college professors today admitting that there's something called the Lucifer effect. Good for Zimbardo. He's right. But I'll tell you, there is something out there named Jesus, or I should say someone. He can change that side of your personality. He can take the Luciferian out of your personality and take away the dark side forever. Hey, here's something else for you. Newsweek, March 19th, 2007. Evidently, the evolutionists are having problems. Their old evolution theories are not working. You know, the stories about the Neanderthal who, you know, and we once were slime and we came out of the water. The slime turned into froggies and froggies became, you know, chimpanzees or apes, and the apes became men, or, you know, and then the dinosaurs. All these phony baloney stuff, ideas. They don't know what to do now. I mean, they're having fits. None of the evidence works out, and the DNA evidence is just slamming these people in the back of the head. They're analyzing the DNA of today's humans as well as chimps. They've even got lice. Yeah, like head lice that get in your hair. They're even looking at lice trying to find the answers, and they can't seem to find the answers to evolution. They don't know what to do. They've got to find answers soon, because if they don't, people will believe in, biblical creation. You know, that story in Genesis about Adam and Eve and the serpent? That's according to Newsweek. In an article called Beyond Stones and Bones, they don't know what to do. They're all the scientists. They're searching for new answers. Meanwhile, friends, over in Greece, somebody sent me some material. Evidently, there's a new book out written by Joseph Christos Kandilakis that says that the Jews have conducted ritual murders, conducted rituals on their holy days and killed innocent Gentile children. Wow. And now, evidently, this Greek activist organization is asking the European Union to investigate Jewish ritual murders. Could it be true? They say that Masonic Jews are involved in it. And these are nothing more than human sacrifices. And throughout history, the Jewish Talmudist and Kabbalist have been doing it. That's a shocker. Meanwhile, came across something very interesting. There's a newsletter that goes out to many Jews, and it's called Ask the Rabbi. You can ask the rabbi. And one of the questions was, the rabbi was asked, by the way, the rabbi who answers you on this website is called, his name is Professor Zev Bar-Lev, B-A-R-L-E-V, Zev, first name Z-E-V. He's with the Department of Linguistics and Oriental Languages, San Diego State University. He was written a letter. Dear Rabbi, you recently wrote the numerical value of Mia Sharim is 666, a number which you say has esoteric and Kabbalistic meaning in Judaism, as indicated by the commentary to the Zohar. Now you've got me curious. In American media, I only hear of 666 for its significance in Christianity, a negative meaning associated with Satan. What is the mystic significance of 666 in Judaism? Wow. Well, the Ask a Rabbi column says the number 666, this is the answer now, according to the rabbis, the number 666 has significance as the numerical value of a Hebrew verse, which in English is translated, "Now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great." In fact, it's a prayer invoking divine mercy on behalf of the Jewish people. Even though the Ask a Rabbi column says that in the Zohar, that's a book of the Kabbalah, the number 666 contains hidden within it exalted and lofty messianic potential. Do you get the deal, friends? The Bible says 666 is the number of the beast, the Antichrist, Revelation 13. But in the Jewish religion, 666 is a good number. And it contains hidden within it exalted and lofty messianic potential. It's the number of their Messiah, the Jewish Messiah to come, evidently. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Hey, here's something very interesting. Carol writes to me. She sent me an email. She says, "Hi, Tex, keep giving us the truth. I know that the truth is hard. I pray for you every day. I want you to know what happened to me. Yesterday, I was at a Christian bookstore. The owner there said that all King James Bibles should be banned from Christian bookstores. She also said the only reason that her bookstore was still offering it is because old people still want it." Wow. A Christian bookstore says the King James Bible should be banned. Of course, we continue to sell it to make money because the old people like it. Then, Brother Al writes to me from Elmira, New York. "Dear Tex, I just found out about a book that is coming out that exposes Senator Hillary Clinton as being responsible for sabotaging John F. Kennedy Jr.'s plane, making it crash. It seems, according to this book, that Hillary did not want John Kennedy Jr. from running for president." The title of the book is "Pilot Error or Political Terror?" I would like to know if this is true. As you know, the Clintons were involved in Vince Foster's murder. But did they kill John F. Kennedy Jr.? Yes, I believe Hillary may indeed have had something to do with this. And we have an entire audio tape on this. If you're interested in it, for $8, $4 shipping and handling, call and ask for the tape about Hillary Clinton's involvement in the JFK Jr. assassination. I think it's called Triple Murder at Vineyard, at Martha's Vineyard. Triple Murder at Martha's Vineyard. And by the way, we put that out years ago. And now comes a book on this subject. Quite interesting. By the way, a lot of people are talking about the new money, the Amaro, coming up. Well, we did a book, as you know, I wrote a book called Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. That book is available too, and it talks about the new money that they're going to force on us. Eventually, they're going to have a global currency called the Phoenix, but right now, they're pushing for a regional currency, and they're going to take our dollars away, recall them, and give us the Amaro. It's all part of the North American Union by 2010, a scam. Well, let's see what more we've got here. Neo-Nazi rally organized by FBI informant. That's according to the Orlando Sentinel newspaper. Can you believe that? FBI organized a neo-Nazi rally? Here's the deal on this, friends. Across America, the KKK, neo-Nazis, the so-called Aryan Nation type of people, they don't even exist. They really don't exist. Oh, there's a few odd and end people out there, crazy young people with spiked hair and punks and all this stuff. But the FBI runs in and tries to take advantage of it. This is called fear-mongering. You see, they want the American people to believe that there are all these terrorists out there, horrible people, Jew haters, black haters, and so forth. Bombers, they're just running wild. So they keep organizing all this stuff, the FBI does, and the CIA. And guess what? The American people then will say, yes, we need a Big Brother police state. Why? I'm so fearful. We've got to do something. Look, it's in the newspaper. Neo-Nazis are rallying. They're marching. They're demonstrating. We've got to stop them. We need hate crime laws. That's the way they do it. That's the way they do it. And then finally, this piece of great information, great as in, it makes me sick, great to the world maybe. The Bush administration has approved United Nations status for homosexual groups. See, the United Nations Economic and Social Council, called ECOSOC, they come up with the names, the acronyms, don't they? Has granted official status to three European homosexual organizations, including the Danish National Association for Gays and Lesbians, the Gay Federation of Germany, and the International Lesbian and Gay Federation. That's in alliance, by the way, with NAMBLA, the Child Sex Group, North American Man-Boy Love Association. United Nations has accepted the membership of these groups. And guess what? The Bush administration's representatives voted in favor of it. Remember, we exposed the homoerotic shenanigans of President Bush, Karl Rove, and the others? There it is, friends. They're approving these gay organizations at the United Nations. Bush, thank you so much for your pedophile support. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Secrets Volume 129 here on Power of Prophecy. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.